You're listening to FMGRadio.com.
Welcome to the Penelope Cox Show, the educator connector who's improving lives by connecting you to the premier educators teaching digital marketing today. And now, here's your host, Penelope Cox.
Hello, welcome. Absolutely delighted to have you here, and thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Penelope. I absolutely love doing shows like this. My reason is because I'm just a sports fan. I've always loved sports my entire life. I'm also a competitor, primarily during my competitive tennis years. And I love football. To me, there's nothing better than a fireplace, fall, chill in the air, and a good football game. Well, it doesn't even have to be a good football game. I just love football. And one of my philosophies, if you've listened to my show, you know, is if you want to be good at what you do, you have to learn from the best. So I thought, who better to learn from than the brand that's absolutely dominating their niche? And in this case, the niche is the sports industry. And the brand I'm talking about is the NFL. They're a multi-billion dollar brand. And I asked myself, why? Why are they dominating their niche? What are they doing? Is it the structure of the game? Is it the marketing behind the league? And what can we here in the audience learn? What can we take away from this brand and perhaps apply some of their tactics to our own businesses? So to answer this, we brought into the studio Rob Alberino. Rob is our guest today, and he is VP of Media and Marketing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He oversees the media partnerships, preseason TV broadcasts, all TV and radio programming, and their official website, kcchiefs.com. And before joining the Kansas City Chiefs, he spent 13 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he was executive producer of the Eagles TV network. Rob has numerous credits to his name, including many Emmys and Telly Awards for his work with the Eagles TV network. Rob, I'm absolutely honored, delighted to have you here as a guest. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
As I mentioned in the intro, I wanted to invite you on the show because when I look at the NFL, like I have said, I see a very successful multi-billion dollar brand. And let's talk a little bit about why that success. What is the NFL doing to make them so successful? If we can top line some of that stuff, because I know you're doing a lot. And maybe what tactics can the small business owner, the entrepreneur that's in the audience, what are some of those tactics that they might be able to emulate? And the reason why I kind of approach this question this way is because when I look at what you're doing, I'm seeing things that, oh my gosh, small business owners can do what the NFL is doing. Multiple demographic groups. Let's target more women. Let's target the Latinos. Let's go international. So I'm seeing someone is digging into your customer base. I'm also seeing a tremendous amount of grassroots activity, local community events that the players get involved with that any business could do. I'm also seeing very much embracing the social space and mobile marketing, which we very much want to get into. So give us a feel for what are some of those tactics that you're finding successful in the NFL.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I hear you talk about all the different things that the NFL is doing well, and you're right. They're doing so much. They're doing so many things well, and it's funny because I haven't been with just one team, as you noted to the listeners. Mm-hmm. I've been with two different teams, but even when I was lucky enough to be a filmmaker for NFL Films, I was able to travel and really get ingrained with a bunch of different teams, many teams on the East Coast. As a matter of fact, the very first place I ever visited when I was with NFL Films was Kansas City, as funny as it may have. So everything sort of comes full circle like 19 years later, right? It went right to Arrowhead. So the amazing thing about the league is, mm-hmm. and I think, Penelope, you hit this right, they are a very traditional league. And yes, I think they have found something that people really enjoy. I mean, you know, Sundays aren't the same without football. Mm-hmm. And the league, although it's been able to evolve over the course of, you know, I guess we're going into our 80-plus year now, mm-hmm. although it's been able to evolve, it hasn't really lost what it stood for. And, you know, I know that sort of sounds corporate and corny, but mm-hmm. really the fact of the matter is, you know, we're the one league in the country that has, you always hear the word parity, it always has a lot of parity. Any team can really win. There are teams that were awful and that are phenomenal now. I mean, you look at the Patriots, mm-hmm. you know, for instance, they've been dominant, even though they lost the Super Bowl. You know, they've been dominant for so many years, and they were, before new ownership hit them, they were a team that had the worst record for the past 4 years when they were in the NFL under their last ownership. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, we had only won 10 games in 3 years, in 07, 08, 09, only 10 games, and we, over the course of those 3 years, and in the 2010 season, we had the greatest turnaround in franchise history, mm-hmm. and we won 10 games in that single year. As a matter of fact, we were 7-1 at the stadium. So things change, which allows fans not to get mired in, you know, in this swamp of mediocrity. So truly, the thing I love about sports, and I think the thing you love about sports too, is that, you know, it's very hopeful. The best thing about yes. sports is, you know, if you have a tough yes. year, guess what? You have to do it again next year. If only yes. we could reset life so easily, right? that's why, you know, sports is wonderful. And I think what the NFL does is they are touching more people personally. They are becoming more grassroots with their fans. It's very important. Fantasy football is a massive movement. Yes. Play 60, massive movement. Even so much as to get tickets so people could, you know, so their fans could go to the media day for the first time in NFL history at the Super Bowl. It's really about the experience, but mm-hmm. never losing sort of the crux of what the NFL was about, the fact that it remains traditional, that it remains personal, and everything's pertinent. Every game counts. They just do a really good job. They do a really good job at maintaining that and growing that and evolving it ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. And every team takes the same approach in how they do things. As a matter of fact, they want to maintain integrity and tradition, and they want to evolve their brand. And the Chiefs are no different. We just do things a little bit differently because our marketplace calls for that. And I think actually, I've only been here 2 years, but we do things a lot better than most teams because we have to, because we are in a smaller market. We're not in a Mecca. We're not in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia. You know, we're yes. not in this place where, yes. where we can count on full stands all the time. We have to work at that.
Well, and the grassroots activity, which you had mentioned, is something that you folks, I have to assume, you, quote-unquote, work at, because I see a lot of the involvement from the players. Rob and I are both here in the Kansas City market with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I see a lot of involvement. You talk about the Super Bowl of Caring, which is a hunger relief program that leads up to the Super Bowl. Your radio voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, he's always out in the market doing radio shows at different spots. I also love what you do on Twitter in terms of inviting the public to the cheerleader auditions. So there is that grassroots activity that's a big part of your, I have to assume, is a big part of your marketing. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a huge part. And so I can only speak on when I came here in March in 2010, but I can give you some amazing statistics. I'm sort of a geek, and when it comes to statistics, it's the one thing that we can, like, quantify, you know? And so I always love a good trivia question, or I always love a good, like, impactful mm-hmm. statistic. Yes, and I'll give you a great example, right? I moved here from Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Fourth largest market in America, and that's a fan base that they're so incredibly avid, but they're, you know, dare I say, as much as I still love the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a very tough, hard-nosed, sometimes cynical fan base. Mm-hmm. Here in Kansas City, it is 180 degrees on the other side. The fans are amazing. If you've never been to Arrowhead, if you've never been to the Sea of Red, it'll blow you away. Mm-hmm. You don't hear too many boos, and when you do, they're probably deserved. But the fans, their appetite here was so strong, and they weren't getting what they should have gotten. Mm-hmm. And when we came here in 2010, we really talked about that. And so a really good statistic, for instance, talk about, you know, what's the social touch point for so many people, whether it's a 16-year-old kid or, you know, whether it's my mom in Connecticut trying to get a hold of everybody, it's Facebook, right? Facebook is a good barometer for where we are. When I came here to Kansas City, we had 72,000 people on our Facebook page, which is awful, lousy, terrible numbers for a team that's been 50-plus years in the league and, you know, everybody knows your name. Within 18 months, we had 575,000 people on Facebook, which is an immense amount of people. I believe our growth rate was 1.5% compounded weekly, and it snowballed so much that we became one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing team in all of North America. And our website, because we use our Facebook like most business owners, whether it's, you know, the league or some mom and pop shop, we use our Facebook to then drive our fans right to our website, which is great. So we kind of get this captive audience on Facebook, which is getting this steady stream of social interaction. And then, hey, they want to see a video. They click on it. Next thing you know, they're right on our website, or it's something that populated our website. So our growth on our website was in a parallel universe there. We basically had, we went from having 37 million people a year look at our website to 52 million. We went from, basically having 10,000 people a day look at our website to having 110,000 people a day, 3.2 million a month. It's unbelievable, yeah, Penelope. I mean, the numbers are huge.
Yeah, and I was noticing that, and also noticing it for the league, where you folks are totally dominating Facebook.
Kind of then digressing, who's responsible for all this, Rob? I mean, I know that your job responsibility is overseeing the KCChiefs.com, but do you have someone that's hired to be your social media content management? I call it a social media content management system. Is there someone who is there that is managing the tweets, someone who is there that's managing the posts on Facebook? And what about during the game? I have to absolutely, honestly believe that the players cannot be down on the field doing any of this during the game. So who's managing this activity during the game? And who's managing your social media overall?
You're absolutely right. We do have a crew of people. We have to take a step back just so you can understand the dynamics of what we have. We're one of a very few crew of major league teams. We adopted the philosophy that was created in 1997 with the Eagles Television Network. It's we want to be full one-stop shopping for anything that moves or makes sound for the Chiefs. So, for instance, most teams have a person who takes care of the stadium. Most people have a person who takes care of the website. Most teams have a broadcast people. And very, very honestly, a lot of times those entities aren't interacting. When I came in, what we did was we detonated that whole siloed portion of things, and this might be another good message for those out there trying to do this. We cross promote everything. We write, produce, and direct every single thing that comes across our desk as it pertains to the stadium, the website, the broadcast. That's the big three, right? So anything that goes on television can, in essence, go into our stadium. Anything that goes to our stadium or on television can, in essence, be driven through the web. So we can reappropriate things. We have a branding message. There's a lot of similarities. There's, you know, one thing doesn't look much different than the other. There's a bar of quality that we're setting up. And then that carries over into the social media things of aspects of things. And every one of my producers, I have 9 people who work for me. I actually should say work alongside of me, but I have producers, I have directors, I have production managers, and I do have an internet content manager, and that internet content manager, Lance Brown, does a great job of making sure that we are in touch every second of every day with people, because we use Twitter, we use Facebook, in essence, to populate content in the stadium and in the television shows. I'll give you a great example, if I could. We have a show called The Kingdom. And The Kingdom is a show that's based only on fans, and it's acts inside the lives of fans. And so we'll throw a call out to the world. We'll throw the call out from literally Edinburgh to Kansas City, and we'll say, tell us your story. Do you have a great story? Why should we follow you? And you know what? If you send me a story and I love it, cameras are dispatched to your hometown for a few days. It's incredible. We just got back from the East. We were doing some shoots out East. We're following around some people in Afghanistan, some soldiers. We're following around John Amos, who was the dad on Good Times. He's a huge Chiefs fan. Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle. We're with these people and doing work with these people all the time to bring content that fans would have never seen before, and it's all driven through social media.
I love that. Hey, Rob, we're going to take a short break for our sponsor. When we return, I want to talk further about tactics that you're using on Twitter, tactics that you're using on Facebook, or any of the mobile apps that you're currently using or that you're coming up with in the future, maybe for the next season. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Be sure to join us at fmguniversity.com. That's where we can turn your passion into business within 30 days, put some fun back into your life, show you how to make money, and do good for yourself and others. That's why we are called FMG, Fun Money Good. Get started today. Go to fmguniversity.com.
Welcome back. We're here with our guest, Rob Alberino, who is with the Kansas City Chiefs, and Rob and I are talking NFL and digital marketing, and you were talking about a great tactic on Twitter. I love what you're doing. Talk about other tactics you're using on Twitter, Facebook, or any of the new mobile apps you're coming up with.
Well, Twitter is obviously is sort of the name brand one that everybody knows, right? It's the Coke, it's the Pepsi, and we've actually grown by hundreds of percents on our Twitter. We have basically about six different Twitter accounts. We have our main KC Chiefs account. We have one for our insider, Josh Looney. He does a great job. We have one for people to follow things going on at the stadium or PR and what have you. All of those have grown tremendously. For instance, the Kansas City Chiefs has doubled in popularity since 2010. We're up to about 64,000 followers, which you wouldn't think is a lot, but the thing is, once it also gets pushed, we make sure everything we tweet also hits our Facebook. So again, there's a lot of synergy. I don't like to use a lot of corporate words, but we do hit a lot of synergy between Facebook and Twitter. And we have a mobile app that you were talking about, Penelope, and one of the things is it's growing because let me take another step back. The NFL has a concern on their hands, and the concern is a great concern. The concern is you can be at home. Let's say you're at home and you're hanging out. You can't make it to a Chiefs game, but you can have your Mac open or your PC open, and you can be going through all the scores that you're talking about. Off air, we talked a little bit about the red zone and how you thought that was a great property. I think it's a heck of a property. For those of you who don't know what red zone is, it's basically once a team gets in the 20-yard line or closer to score a touchdown, they flop to that game. So you're just seeing this just potpourri of scores around the league. So you could be home and you can be watching that. You can be watching your Chiefs game, and you can be online. You can be watching multiple cameras from the network, or you can be looking at your NFL fantasy stats. The challenge the league is facing, is the fact that if you're in stadium, well, you don't have – this luxury. So it's up to the teams to bring you certain applications, certain visual devices so that you can sit in your seat, you can enjoy your popcorn and your beverage, you can watch your team and feel like you're at the stadium. Nothing's better than feeling like you're at the stadium. I mean, I truly believe that. But you can also look up, you can see your fantasy stats. We're playing the red zone in the stadium during breaks, but we also have, for any little devices, we have our Chiefs Mobile, which allows you to, the minute you get out of your car, you put a little waypoint, you're in F6 spot 213, you hit a little waypoint, and the minute you get out of your car, and when you walk to your seat, you hit the second waypoint, and bam, you've just GPSed where you need to go and where you are. Yeah, and it's kind of a really cool thing. I mean, it's basically the same type of drivers that you're using at home when you Google from the grocery store to your home or whatever. But you can then say, boy, I'd really like a hamburger, and you put in hamburger, and if you spell hamburger wrong, it's going to tell you the closest place to get a hamburger or a jersey or whatever you're looking for, and we pipe our content right to that. So if you have your iPhone, let's say, and you want to see the coach's press conference at the end of the game, boop, you're right there. You can watch it streaming live. We do it all the time because we're excited that it works. I can't even believe my phone turns on, let alone I can see the press conference on it. And it's amazing. I mean, the app is great. It's Chiefs Mobile, and you can see it on kcchiefs.com. But, it's just one of those little bells and whistles, Penelope, that, we're trying to use so people are engaged. And, of course, we can drive sponsorships through it. You can buy merchandise through it. I mean, it has to have some sort of end game. And that end game for us, obviously, is generating revenue. But it's also to give, you know, it's free and it's great for people to get down there and use and, you know, feel excited that they have something that they wouldn't have at home.
Now, the beautiful thing about the NFL, and of course this is probably true with other teams as well, but with the power, I'm going to call the power of the 32 teams, the ability to leverage what other teams are doing, the ability to leverage what the league is doing, ability to leverage what, like you had mentioned earlier, Philadelphia Eagles, maybe what they're doing and being able to leverage that, bringing it over to the Chiefs or the teams being able to interact and what is working for them they can bring over and work for your own team. Is that happening? Is that helping at all with the
yes.
team's presence?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, basically, we're 32 different businesses, right? We're 32 different
Correct.
Businesses. Everybody's got best practices. And it comes down to ownership, and we have amazing ownership. We're one of really only three, and you could actually call it, some NFL purists would call it four, but mm-hmm. we're one of only three family-owned teams left in the league, meaning the same family who created the team still owns it. And for us, mm-hmm. it's the Hunts, and you have mm-hmm. the Maras. New York, you have the Rooneys in Pittsburgh and the Wilsons in Buffalo, but I don't know if they're fully owned, but I know the Maras, Rooneys, and the Hunts fully own their team. And, you know, Clark, our
yes.
owner, who,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the fact that we can call our owner Clark is amazing, but he has put so much stock into the fans. He really has, because his dad was a pioneer. His dad,
yes.
I call his dad the Walt mm-hmm. Disney of football. I mean, his dad created the name the Super Bowl. His dad basically put names on the back of people's jerseys. He, you know, his mm-hmm. dad was the guy who created halftime entertainment, for God's sakes. I mean, this is a guy who his lasting impression on the game is seen every single week. And it's, you don't have a Super Bowl halftime if you don't have you know, Lamar Hunt. As a matter of fact, you don't have the name the Super Bowl if you don't have Lamar Hunt. And these are the kind of things that all these teams are sharing, and we're going back and forth. We talk mm-hmm. about every aspect of the business.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really, really cool things you mentioned was about, you know, women have really become a huge portion of what the NFL is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we share statistics between teams, and
True.
Some teams have bigger male fan bases. The Chiefs have 48% of their fan base is women.
That's what I read.
And it's amazing. It actually bodes really well for us, because who's going out there and getting all the gifts for their husbands or their boyfriends for Valentine's Day? You know, who are the consumers? It's really the women, and they're out there and they're doing all of the decision making, which is great. So they're a huge touch point for us. As a matter of fact, we're the only team in all of Major League Sports that have a show dedicated only to women. It's called Red and Gold. It started last year as a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It blew up. It was getting about 86,000 views a day when it was airing.
Mm-hmm.
And it airs once a month on KCChiefs.com, and we have a whole year of it this year. And it's, you know, it's a good touch point for us. And you know, I come from a family of women. As a matter of fact, I only make girls, unfortunately. So I'm playing zone defense against girls all the time. And so I have a built-in focus group at my house. It's built in. It's great.
There you go. Hey, the NFL's turning into kind of a 24/7 nonstop conversation with the fans. At least that's kind of the way I see it. Is that a specific strategy? I have to assume it is. We've got Sunday, we've got Mondays, we've got Thursday's NFL, we've
mm-hmm.
got off-season, and it goes on and on. Is that a specific league strategy?
You know, yes, it is, and it's grown that way because the appetite has asked it to. I mean, if you look back at the 70s, 80s, and 90s, no, of course, you know, you're not looking at how the digital age has really affected that, but
mm-hmm.
the appetite is so huge that people are talking about the combine, and let's just call it what it is. The combine is 5 days of guys running sprints and jumping and smacking stuff in the air. It's potentially the most boring event in the world, but everybody wants to see, you know, who this next is. You know what I mean? But it's amazing. That's how big this thing has come. And I will be traveling to the combine to shoot these young guys who potentially could be on our team. And it's incredible. Because then the minute the combine's done, Penelope, bam, you're talking about the draft. And the minute the draft is done, it's mini camps. And it's, hey, who's going to throw the ball and catch the ball for the first time? And so because there's only 16 games, you know, 22 weeks at the most, the appetite is so high. And again, that's the NFL never changing, only evolving slightly from 12 games to, you know, 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about game season, but
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. It's incredible the amount of built-in for TV things that they have made that really aren't built-in for TV. You know, choosing a draft pick or watching a guy run a sprint. I mean, these are things that people just want to see. So guess what? The NFL's like, we're going to give you what you're asking for.
Well, and I think that that's exactly, that was one of the things that, that I looked at, that what is making this, this brand so successful? Because your ratings have gone off the chart this season. NFL ratings mm-hmm. have gone off the chart this season. Super Bowl is history breaking. So is being a limited commodity attributing to your success? And I would, versus for me, and maybe it's a, do I dare say the female coming out, but there's just too many baseball and basketball games for me to get too excited about it. But the limited commodity of football I find very intriguing. Do you find that attributing to your success?
I do. And as a matter of fact, my wife, Lisa, who often says to me, hey, you know, what's our next big move? Do we go to Kansas City or do we go to a baseball team or a basketball team? And she's like, heck no. She's like, I don't want you working 80 games a week. I don't, 80 games a year. I don't want you working 160 games a year. So it's conducive to not only good business, but yes. It's a really great business to be a part of, because you can focus all of your energy into this limited commodity. You can focus all of your energy to making each one of these weeks really count. Let's think about having a partner in the stadium on any level, whether it's a small partner for a mom and pop shop, or whether it's for us, it would be Coke or Sprint or, mm-hmm. or one of these partners that we have. We have 10 opportunities a year, including preseason, because we take preseason very seriously.
Yes.
If we take, we have 10 games a year at Arrowhead Stadium. If by some chance something goes poor, or there's some sort of catastrophe, you know, our video boards go down, or somehow stadium loses power like they did in San Francisco this year during the Pittsburgh game. If something happens, that's 10% of our business in the stadium that year.
Mm-hmm.
So think about how the massive magnitude of 10 games, and it really, that's why every game is an event. You know, people know where to be on Sundays during football season. They want to be at Arrowhead Stadium because it's just nuts. It's a party. It's great.
It,
you know, that's, and really the fact that we just don't have 80 games makes it so spectacular and makes us put all of our eggs that basket.
And it goes on further with the structure of the game, of how they've taken a 60-minute game. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how this materialized, but how can you take a 60-minute game and turn it into, you know what I'm going to say, turn it into a three-hour TV advertising environment? I find that a tremendous tactic, strategy.
No, we do think about that, but I think the key to the game is, and not to take anything away from NASCAR, but let's use that as an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a NASCAR car, and you don't have to be a NASCAR fan. I am not a racing fan. I come from the East Coast where we had concrete and we played basketball every day, right? That was where I came from. So NASCAR is a little bit foreign to me, but I respect how hard they work and how much they've pushed their brand. But if you look at a NASCAR car, it's just covered with stickers, right?
Correct.
It's covered with a million different ads. So your mind is sort of blitzed with that.
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL, it's a much cleaner property. And for us, in stadium, for instance, when we mm-hmm. activate partnership in stadium, let me give a good example. A good example of that would be we have a local partner, Hy-Vee.
Mm-hmm.
Hy-Vee, for those who are listening, is basically just a really good grocery store. And I suggest you shop there as one of our partners. Was that my dirty plug for the day?
And I'll concur.
There you go.
Hy-Vee is a good
store.
There
you go. So when we run something on the video boards for Hy-Vee, all of our 360 LED rings, everything in the stadium is sunk up to push Hy-Vee to the fans so that they're not seeing that, quote, stock car approach. So they're not being blitzed by a million different things. You know, the NBA struggles with that, too. If you go to an NBA arena, there's so much going on that it's almost hard to focus on the game. With football, there's the play happens on the field, then it stops. The play happens on the field, and then it stops. There's not full motion. It's not constant barrage of things. So it's really indicative to helping us get a product out there or push a partnership. And so when we get to a break, because there are 22 commercial breaks in an NFL game, when we get to a break in stadium, for instance, we want to keep people engaged. We don't want to, at Arrowhead, Penelope, we don't play 30-second commercials. Everything we have is driven content that's married with the Chiefs, whether it's a highlight package, best hits, best runs, you name it. All of it works together. All of it works in synergy again, and all of it is similar. So really, you know, less is more. We don't show a million logos, but we show one logo a bunch of times, and it's all happening at the same time. So it does help us create the flow and help us create, a 3-hour event that is immersed with partnerships, and that really helps us. I mean, those partnerships are incredible. They're not just, that's just not money that's going into the pocket of the owner. That helps us grow, more television shows so we can give those to the fans. That helps us build a better facility so we can bring in better players. All of these things are all driven to win championships, and that's our goal.
And if Red were, you're going to get a primetime slot on, I believe it would be on NFL Network, or how NFL Network is expanding the Thursday primetime mm-hmm. schedule.
That's right.
But there are some NFL markets that are where NFL Network is not being carried on certain cable systems, like here in Kansas yeah. City. Time Warner is not carrying the NFL Network. So are you going to be able to negotiate that? Is it a concern to you that maybe in some of the NFL markets, some of the cable systems will not be carrying the NFL Network?
That's a big concern for us. That's a big challenge for us. As a matter of fact, Time Warner Cable, who's a partner of ours, doesn't carry it. You're right, because the Time Warner Cable and the NFL have been in this battle, lengthy battle for, I want to say, maybe 3 to 4 years. And that prohibits us from doing, certain events or certain things where maybe we want to push the red zone or have a cable partner with this red zone. It actually changed even the way I look at things. As a matter of fact, I went and got AT&T UVerse as a side battle so I could watch the NFL Network at home. That's how important I think it is, and I think the programming is really, really, really excellent, and I need to see that. That's my CNN. But I think that's a huge challenge, and we cannot do anything. We cannot negotiate because, again, we're just one of 32 companies that are ahead of this big umbrella. The umbrella, the NFL, they need to, close the doors and sort of hammer out that deal. And we're patiently waiting, but unfortunately we can't do much about it.
One last question, then we'll close. The Super Bowl was a what I would call a phenomenal success with the Giants over the Patriots. Not so much the Giants over the Patriots, but because of the attendance. And football, and you talked about it earlier, that football is a game of tradition. What are your thoughts about the Super Bowl 2014 going to an outdoor game?
I love it. I love it because I believe that there's two things that football should be. Just absolutely the common denominator should be, I love seeing good defense. I'm a huge defense guy, and I like seeing cold weather. When it gets cold and I start to see my breath and the leaves are falling off the trees, that's when football should happen. And I think that places like New York, I love seeing it when it's in a place that could potentially be some foul weather on a cold level as opposed to just rain. I'd love to see it come to Kansas City, but I think that the fact of the matter is football's played in every single element, so why not have the biggest game played with a little bit of a twist in it? And no town can handle it better than New York. I mean, they've got everything in the world that you need to handle that, including the league right there at 350 Park Avenue. But I love it. I would like to see how it happens. Now, if it dumps 2 feet of snow, my foot will be in my mouth, and then we'll have to go from there. But I'm excited. I'm really excited because, it's nice to have a little bit of flavor in there that might just be a little bit different. And it's important. It's a good experiment.
Rob, thank you so much. As one marketer to another, I could extend this for another 30, 40 minutes. Thank you so, so much for being
sure.
a guest on our show and giving our audience some further insight into the depth of the marketing that the NFL is involved with and the Kansas City Chiefs are involved with. And for my audience, if you want to connect with Rob Alborino for more information, you can connect with him through the Chiefs' official site at kcchiefs.com. Rob, thanks again.
No problem. You got a new listener.
Oh, I love you. And for my audience, all guest bios are archived here on fmgradio.com and also on my official site at PenelopeCoxShow.com. Be sure to join me at the same time next week when our guest will be Internet Marketing Coach Ed Taylor. Ed and I will be talking specifics about his coaching program. Ed works one-on-one with the small business owners to help them get top Google rankings, help them leverage their social marketing, and also improve their website conversions. To date, Ed Taylor's been directly responsible for more than $1 billion in increased revenue for his clients. So join us. It'll be a good conversation with Ed. The Penelope Cox Show airs every Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on fmgradio.com. Thanks again for joining us this week. Remember, invest in your education, learn from the best.
You've been listening to The Penelope Cox Show, The Educator Connector. All showtimes, guest files, and interviews are archived on Penelope's official site at PenelopeCoxShow.com.
You're listening to the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is have fun, make money, do good. We provide platforms to individuals who have a cause, message, or information that they would like to share with the world. If you'd like to join the FMG family and have your own radio show, please call us at 1-800-470-4982. That's 1-800-470-4982. We look forward to hearing from you.